Are we messing around here in this church? Are we just playing church? Are you excited about this? I'm excited. Hallelujah. Excited about what, brother? I don't know. It's been raining out, and I don't know what's going on. We're going to take this city, and I'm excited about it. This is what you're designed to do. Do you know that? This is built into you. You're hardwired to do this. When you're born into the kingdom, you're born into the kingdom, and this kingdom's going to overcome all the other kingdoms. You guys going to be ready for the change that takes place? What change? I don't want like change. I mean radical change. Are you ready?
Yes.
And you got to get ready. And that what's going to change? What in your life is going to change? Everything's going to change. Everything? What about the good stuff? Yes, that's going to change too. If it's not great, it's going to change. Sometimes you have to sacrifice the good for the great. Everybody say that. Sacrifice the good for the great. Now, wasn't Isaac good? Maybe he wasn't good, and that's why Abraham wanted to sacrifice him. No, he was good. It was good. It was God's promise to him that he'd have a son. But then God called him to go and sacrifice his Isaac. Sometimes you have to sacrifice the good because it's good and it's not great. Well, if it's not great, it's not God. Is God just good or is he great? Well, in the context, you know, it said that there's only one good and that's God. But that's because there's only one that's that good. He's wholly good. There's no one else as good as him. That means he's great. By default, there's nobody as good as he is. And that's great. So if there's anything in your life, I'm telling you, anything in your life that's not great, then you're going to have to sacrifice it. Oh, brother. This goes way beyond getting rid of sin. Did you know that? This goes beyond getting rid of sin and getting rid of those things that are holding you back from stepping into all the greatness. Do you think God has greatness in you? Is there greatness in you? And you have to believe it. There is. What if nobody else sees it? What do you care? Does God see it? He's the one who put it in there. And what, he doesn't want a return on it? He put greatness in you and now, we'll just let it go with good. I don't think so. This is part of what we're going to require here. Everybody say require. In this church. We don't just require for you to, patty cake. There's greatness in you. But what's that mean? You're going to have to kill all the good stuff. Why? Because it's the good stuff. Most of the time, it's the good things that are holding you back because you think it's okay. You think it's well enough. It's good enough. It's good enough where I am. I'm comfortable. I'm alive. I'm breathing. Not good enough. And it's only when you say this isn't good enough that you can strive and achieve what's great. And I'm happy. I'm happy with that we've got people here and you all are in the Word. But I'm not satisfied until I know that you are putting your tongue on the third rail. Your tongue on the third rail? Doesn't that hurt? Well, have you been here long enough to know that it's your tongue that gets you to where you're at and where you're going to be? I want you to put your tongue on the third rail, which is greatness. Where's the power? Do you know what I'm talking about, third rail? In some cities, they have these trolleys and trains. Two rails, that's what the train rides on. Then there's a third rail, but it's getting all of its power from it. And if you were to touch that and be grounded, I guess that's probably the end of you, right? Brother, so why are you telling me to stick my tongue on it? Well, I want it to be the end of you and the beginning of the power going through you.
Yes.
That's where great, and you got to realize that. That's where greatness is. I don't care how great you are. It's God coming through you that's great. He's great. Are we ready for this? This means we get to change. Man, I went down to that church and they were all laying there with their tongues frozen to the third rail. It's like licking a flagpole in the winter. They're all stuck there. You listen to me too long and I'll have you doing it. Brother, it sounds like you just want to destroy everything good that's in us. Yes, welcome to church. Why? Because I want the great And you're not going to be in the great until you say, wait a minute, all this good stuff is just good. It's not great, and I want the greatest, the greatness to come out of me. Hallelujah. You there? Acts chapter 5, verse 28. And it doesn't happen until you get dissatisfied with where you're at. Are you dissatisfied? So maybe that's my job, is to get you dissatisfied with where you're at and know that there's something better in you and you're going to be great. I don't tolerate it. Neither should you. That's what a good teacher is, you know, one that sees gifts and calls in you and won't let you get by with B's if they know you've got straight A's coming out of you because you're too smart for B's. You wonder why they're mad at you, because I don't want to see B's coming out of you. I want to see A's, straight A's all the time because you're super smart, super wealthy. Okay, Acts chapter 5, verse 28. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your plan and purpose for every single person in this room. I thank you that you've called them to greatness, and you're calling them to lay aside the things of the world and to step into your glory and the greatness you have for them. Father, we release them in Jesus' name into your greatness. We take authority over anything that would hinder or stop us from being everything that you've called us to be as a church and individually in Jesus' name. We receive your anointing and your glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 28, Acts chapter 5. Saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you've filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. We've been talking about taking a city. The city. Do you know what the city is? It's where you are. It's the city. Can God do this? Is this God's intent to do this? Look, we have apostles here. They were being accused of filling the whole city with the doctrine of God and intending, where's their intent? To bring the blood of Jesus on them. Well, guess what? God's purpose doesn't change. If you start to line yourself up with his purpose, guess what you're going to do? You're going to fill the city with your doctrine and intend to bring them all into the blood of Jesus. What's that mean? You're taking over the city. We're going to take over the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of God's dear son. That's taking it over. Well, I don't know. Nobody's ever said that before. I don't care. I'm not reading their book that they wrote. I'm reading this book that God wrote. And when you line yourself up with the book of Acts, this is what you're going to do. This is the kind of language you're going to use. Whether anybody likes it or not, we're going to do it. Hallelujah. Welcome to church. But I just wanted a little small congregation. Well, I don't. I want a congregation filled with people who are just vibrating with the power of God and got the city in their head. They want the whole thing. That's what I want, and I'd be happy with that. People that are totally just committed to having everything that God has for them. Because then what are they going to get? Everything that God has for them. So they filled the city. Everybody say the city. With their doctrine. And did that happen overnight? No, you don't fill the city with doctrine. The Holy Ghost may come on a city overnight, but to have them filled with the doctrine takes time, right? You have to have people's ears open so they can hear and understand and receive the word of God and be changed. Filled the city with their doctrine. And the intent was to bring the blood of Jesus on them. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. This is going to get good, people. I'm excited about it. Are you willing to be changed? Yes. I mean, really radically changed. We won't even be able to recognize you anymore. Some of you guys still don't recognize anymore. You just look completely different than what you did before. Why? Because you're radically changed. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Has delivered us from the power of darkness. Is has in the future? No. Has is past tense. He has delivered you from the power of darkness. How did he do that? Let's read on here. has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So they filled the city with the doctrine, and their intent was to bring what? Into the blood of Jesus. The city. The whole city into the blood. Now, if the whole city comes into the blood of Jesus, what do you have? You have the whole city delivered from the power of darkness and the whole city translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, no wonder it was their intent to bring the blood of Jesus on them. And that's what you say as you're driving around, you drive past, you're saying, mine, 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 but you're also speaking the blood of Jesus over it because you want that property, you want that person you're praying for, you want that whatever it is, business, to come inside the blood of Jesus, which is the kingdom of God. Power of darkness broken over it. Okay. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you, fear ye not. Who's remaining among them? God covenanted with them so that his what? His spirit would remain. Everyone say remain. Among them. Is that a good thing? Is that the way God said we're going to bring this to pass? We'll see this. This is exactly how they did it in the book of Acts. The Holy Ghost came and he left. No, he came and he remained among them. And when he remains among us, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to take the city. God's a God of cities. I don't know if you knew this. Okay. So my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come in. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. See, are you being unscriptural by saying mine, mine? No, you're just copying God. He said it. The silver's mine. Everybody say, the silver's mine. The gold is mine. Hallelujah. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace and prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, do you remember? He's talking about two temples. The former house was what? Solomon's. Was Solomon's temple all right? Yeah. The glory of this latter house is going to be greater than the former. And people get religious with it and they say, oh no, the glory, the shimmering glory feeling thing. That was there too, by the way. But did he qualify it here? He said something about it. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He said he's going to bring it back in. Well, guess what? You're the temple, people. Same God. Just keep preaching prosperity up here. What's going on? Because this is a big part of what God wants to do in the earth today. He wants to make an example out of you. Young man, young woman, God's going to make an example out of you. With what? His glory. How is he going to do it? By his spirit coming and abiding. I will shake all nations. Do you see this? It says all nations. He says he's going to shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. I will shake all nations. The word shake means to restructure, reorganize. Another way you could say it is to shake up something. Did they shake up the towns they went into? They said, hey, these people that have turned the world upside down have come here. Lock your doors. They've come. So we're doing nothing different in our day than what God prophesied and said we were going to do. We're going to turn the world upside down. We're going to shake it. We're going to totally reorganize it. That's what we're talking about, taking the city, totally reorganizing what? By our own methods and our own madness? No, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, you can't go any other way. When the Holy Ghost comes and stays and abides and remains, just like he said here, I covenanted with you that I would come and stay, then I'm going to shake. I'm going to shake the city. I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to totally reorganize it. and transform it. You hear? Acts chapter 5. I took you there last week. I'm going to go there this week. We have here the story of Ananias and Sapphira, verse 1. But in a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife, also being privy to it, brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And I tell you, he was talking to Peter. Why did Peter say you've lied to the Holy Ghost? Was the Holy Ghost somewhere else, or the Holy Ghost must have been there? Do you understand? Well, when did the Holy Ghost come? On the day of Pentecost. It seems to me like he stayed there, didn't he? Yes, and the whole city was transformed. And then city upon city, wherever they went, they turned the world upside down. Why is it any different with us? Well, because of our denominational... No, this is you. And this is what people, you got to wrap your head around. I wasn't thinking that when I first got saved. Read the fine print, brother. This is you. This is where excellence abounds in you. This is God remaining on you. You have no other choice. I guess I must take the city. I have to. I'm compelled to. What's compelling you to? The excellence that's within you, the Holy Ghost that's remaining among you. And that's why that's my prayer for you and for everyone in here, is that we'll be changed to the degree where we can see ourselves moving with the Holy Ghost and fulfilling his plan and purpose as he comes and stays. And he's coming to stay. Hallelujah. So here they lied to the Holy Ghost. He wasn't lying to Peter. He lied to the Holy Ghost, meaning the Holy Ghost was there. Look down to verse 11. And we know what happened. They died. Is that happening in a lot of churches? Why is it? I believe it's because the Holy Ghost isn't really abiding there in this type of power. I'm not saying he's not there. Yes, the Holy Ghost is everywhere. But there are different degrees of his presence, his power, and his glory. Verse 11 says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. What happened? People were scared. Scared to go to church. Scared to go to your church. Right? Or they repented before they went to church. They heard about this. What do you think they heard? They heard that the Holy Ghost was there and you can't even lie to him. And if you do, wepo. You know, have your gravestone ready before you go to church. Yeah. Have all your bills in order before you go to church. Because if you lie to the Holy Ghost over there, you're in deep trouble, people. They were scared. Do you understand what this did to the city? Look what happened. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. How did this happen? By the Spirit of the Lord remaining and staying among them. But I just wanted to go to a friendly church. You guys seem like you got an agenda here. Seems like you want to just take over everything. It's not me. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God. I got all this stuff out of that book sitting in your lap, especially in the book of Acts. And I believe that's what the Holy Ghost has been saying to me for several years now, is he's looking for a place to come and stay, which means, well, I got to change, and you got to change. We've all got to change to the place where we can have him come and stay. And when that happens, what's going to happen? City. Turned upside down. Great fear coming on us, right? Did it come on the church that was there? Yes! Did they come to church with the intent to lie to the Holy Ghost? Not anymore if they did the first time. Why? Because the Holy Ghost was there. He was abiding. He was remaining. So God's looking for a people? Hallelujah. You there, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. And look what he said here. I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, and to destroy and to throw down. Huh. That doesn't sound very nice. How could that be productive? But then look what he says, to build and to plant. Do you build something and plant something unless you've got a clean slate to work on? God does the same thing with you, doesn't he? When you come to the Lord Jesus and you say, forgive me of all my sins. I repent. I'm sorry. I've messed up. Help me. What does he do? That old man, he wipes it clean. He destroys it. He throws it down. He buries it. And it's gone. Then he builds and plants. And this is what a lot of people don't like about this kind of message, is because they realize that if they haven't built their business, they haven't built their house on the things of God, then it is subject to being shaken up. It is subject to being destroyed. It's subject to being wiped out. Did Jesus talk about this stuff? All the time. It's a kingdom overtaking another kingdom. So what kingdom do you want to build your house in? His kingdom, because it's going to overcome the other kingdom. And when it overcomes the other kingdom, what happens? The other kingdom is destroyed. It's pulled down. Well, I thought we were just taking the city. No, we're gonna destroy the city. You like that? We've come here to wreck your city and destroy it. The way you think it was, it's not going to be that way anymore. What did the blood do? The blood overcame all of the old, the powers of darkness. So all the things that think they're all settled and they've been having a good time for the last 100 years or whatever, they're in trouble. By the power of God shaking them, overthrowing them, destroying them, and rooting them out. You can cut a tree down, sometimes they grow back, sometimes you got to root it out. Who does this? It's the Holy Ghost. And I like how he says he set him in this position to do it. Well, God will pick people that he knows. He can give that authority to go and do it, and you'll go and do it. And then what does he say to do after all of this has happened? He says then he's going to build and to plant. And what way is he going to build it? His way. What's he going to plant? Through his word. And you filled the city with your doctrine. Why? Because you're building things now on the things of the kingdom of God. I think you're making this up, brother. I'm not. Hang on. Just because nobody else has been doing this doesn't mean you're not supposed to. We can and we should. That's what I say. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Wait, okay, now where's the trumpet being blown? In Zion, in God's holy mountain. So who's hearing this trumpet? The people of God are the ones who are hearing it. Do you understand? Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. We can go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, and it says, we have come to Mount Zion, the mountain of God, to an innumerable company of angels. So he's talking about the church here. And let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Why are the inhabitants of the land trembling? Because the people of God are rising up. And as you rise up, it's going to scare them because they're going to see that destruction is looming. Destruction? Yes! You either get with the church or face destruction. Come on, where's the love, brother? Where's the love? That is love. What's going to be destroyed? Their sin. What's going to be destroyed? Their corruption. Anything that's under the kingdom of darkness is going to be destroyed and redeemed by the power of the blood. For the day of the Lord comes, it is nigh at hand. Verse 2, a day of darkness, of gloominess, of day of clouds and of thick darkness, people. Thick darkness, clouds and gloom. Brother, it doesn't sound like a good day to me. This is what the people are seeing, remember? They're trembling. Let the people of the land tremble because they're seeing this thick darkness, this cloud, this gloom. What do you think this cloud, this darkness is going to look like to you? You're going to be in it. This is the glory of the Lord. But to them, it's going to be doom. It is doom if they don't change, right? Why do you think they feared and stayed away from the church? because there was a cloud over there, and they're freaking me out. You go in that cloud, and you don't repent, you die. Are you serious? I am so serious. Okay. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people. Oh, a great people. Now we know why you were going off on this. A good people, a kind and gentle people. They were good. No, they were great, a great people and strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. Verse 3, a fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is as a garden of Eden before them, behind them a desolate wilderness. What is happening here? They're pulling down. They're destroying. They're consuming everything in their path. A fire devouring before them. And behind them, what do you have? If you have a big forest fire, we've seen a couple of those on the TV recently. Looks like a war zone behind you. The fire goes through, and all you see is, you know, little shells of houses, maybe. And a little fire here, a little fire there, still burning embers. Brother, this just doesn't sound like nice Christianity. It's not. This is God we're taking over. How many times did he tell the children of Israel to go in and wipe them out? Don't leave anybody left. Not even the animals. Not even the furry little sheep. No. Wipe them out. All of them. A fire devours before who? These people that are strong, this great army that is in this cloud. Have you ever heard that the Shekinah glory looks like a cloud? Have you ever heard that it looked like a fire? Have you ever heard any of this stuff? Or am I just telling you this for the first time? You've never heard this before. So when the glory comes and remains, it's like a cloud, it's like a fire, and when we walk in it, what does it do? It has the result of destroying things. Destroying? Yes, destroying those things that are not in the kingdom of God and bringing them into the kingdom of God, building and planting it. Just too much. This is hyper exciting. Everybody say hyper exciting. It really is. This is it. You know, if you've waited for years and years, you know how many of the prophets wished they could see this day, and you're sitting in it. Yeah. You're sitting in the day that they wished they could see, and this is the way they saw it. They were like, it looks like a fire, and the people before them are burned. And their faces, it says, were dark. Were darkened. From what? They've been charred by the fire of God coming through. I mean, if it said that, you know, that they were scared, it would have just said they were pale, but it wasn't. Their life was destroyed by this glory of God coming through. And people don't understand that. I was thinking about this the other night. I'm sitting in the presence of God. I'm going, I worship you, Holy Ghost. I worship you, Holy Ghost. And again, as he comes in the room, I sit there and I think, well, I'm completely ruined. You ever thought that? You ever had that thought? I'm completely ruined. I've got no more plans. I've got nothing. All I care about is you now because I got the Holy Ghost, and that's all there is. I'm destroyed. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I have to get this over to people. Listen to me. You're destroyed in the presence of God. The church was destroyed in the presence of God. How much more will the nations be destroyed in the presence of God? Destroyed? Yeah, it's a good destroyed. Oh, I loved it. I wouldn't think of anything.
Oh, I wish I had a new car. Oh, I wish I had a new watch. I wish I had a new set of...
Are you thinking that when you're in the presence of God, you're completely destroyed? Do you understand what I'm talking about? His glory, manifest as a cloud and a fire, will literally destroy you and all the people around you. Welcome to church. You're inviting people to church, and little do they know that they shall be destroyed. We should hand out little cards. Come to church where you can be destroyed. You got to get this, because this is where it's at, and it's a good destruction, meaning God wipes out all the evil, all the bad. Is that good? How many times have you wrestled with junk in your head and you wanted it to be destroyed? And then God comes in, sits in your head. I don't know how he does it. Don't ask me those questions. He comes in, he sits in your head, and he destroys all that stuff, and now you think cleanly again. Hallelujah, you're established in the kingdom of God. This is going to happen to cities. It's going to happen to this city by the power of God coming and remaining, destroying all those things that are evil, and establishing, building, and planting all those things which are good. You guys game?
Yes.
Well, get ready to be destroyed. I didn't even read all that. A fire devours before them, behind them a flame burns. The land is as the what? The Garden of Eden before them. This was always God's plan to get people back in there. The Garden of Eden. Is that good? So you got to leave everything else outside. It's been destroyed. Well, what do you care? You're going towards the Garden of Eden. Tired of wearing these fig leaves anyway. Okay, the Garden of Eden before them, behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. Yeah, brother, this is the Old Testament. You hang on. Nothing shall escape them. He's talking this is a great people, in the glory of God, obviously, in the cloud, in the fire of God, destroying, laying waste everything. The Garden of Eden's before them. Nothing shall escape them. That's why I say if we're going to be scriptural, we need to believe for the whole city, all of it. If you're going to be scriptural. If you're going to be scriptural, nothing, everybody say nothing, shall escape them. Nothing? I'm not making this up. And I believe we'll have the most results when we stay with the Word. Hallelujah. You think anything's going to escape the glory?
No.
I don't care who it is. Some atheist. Some atheist law writer. Some atheist judge. Is he going to escape?
Absolutely not.
Man, even a liar didn't escape. Somebody just was trying to make everybody think they gave more than they actually did. Most people don't even care, but it was the Holy Ghost was there. They lied to him and shredded him right then. Behind them, a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they run. Like the noise. This is going to be a noisy group.
Hallelujah.
Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. There'll be a leaping group.
Hallelujah.
Like the noise of a flame of fire that devours the stubble. Like a strong people set in battle array. Before their people, before their face, the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways. They shall not break their ranks. Listen, they shall not break their ranks. Means they're set in a place and they will not break that rank. What if they did? They wouldn't be a very good army, would they? But we are a good army and we're not going to break our ranks and we're going to move on, right? In an orderly fashion, this takes place. Neither shall one thrust another. Does that happen in the body of Christ today? Oh, I've been thrust many times recently. And why is it never from the front? It's always from behind. You people here.
Yeah.
Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Well, that's good. They shall run to and fro in the city. Where? In the city, they shall run up the wall, upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and moon shall be darkened. And the stars will withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. Brother, that just sounds like some weird prophecy from the Old Testament, and it has nothing to do with us. Really? Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 16. But this is that which was spoken. Okay, what happened here? What happened here? The day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came to abide and stay among them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and he stayed there, and he abided there. And when people asked, what is this? What's going on? Peter opened his mouth under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost and said, verse 16, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come in the last day, come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Verse 19, "I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the exact same prophecy of the Holy Ghost coming. And what's he going to do? He's sounding the trumpet in Zion on the holy mountain. He's ordering this array. They're beginning to take cities. I'm telling you, are you people still here? This is the same prophecy for us today with the Holy Ghost. The things before us are being destroyed. The things behind us have been destroyed. And we're heading where? Towards the Garden of Eden. Well, if that wasn't enough for you, look at Acts chapter 3, 22. "For Moses truly said, the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God rise up among you, raise up among you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, and whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Who was the prophet being raised up? It was the Lord Jesus. What did it say Jesus was in this verse of Scripture? A prophet, right? A prophet. Now remember, Jesus said what? A prophet himself. He said, a prophet's not without honor except in his hometown or in his house. He's not without honor there. He called himself a prophet. Do you understand? Everybody say Jesus was a prophet. He operated as a prophet in the earth. Why are you laboring this point? Because what I'm going to show you, if you don't understand that he was prophesying and speaking of you in your day and how things were going to come to pass in your day, you'll miss it. You'll just think it's some scripture because you've heard it 100 times. Turn with me to Luke 6:38. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Well, see, that just means in giving money. It'll be given unto me, good measure. But was Jesus a prophet? Did you see what we said about the Holy Ghost coming and shaking people? Did you see that? That this is what is happening in our day. And in the book of Acts, it was a fulfillment, a beginning of this destroying of the nations. Right? No. That's when the Lord returns. No. It was prophesied by Peter that this is exactly what was happening. This is happening now. Everybody say it's happening now. And we have a choice. We can either get with it or we can be destroyed by it. "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom." He was just talking before this about the kingdom of heaven. To give to where? We know this. Where do we give? Into the kingdom of heaven. He told three ways. He was teaching them on this. You give by what? Fasting. You can give yourself to the kingdom of heaven by fasting, by praying, and by giving alms. What were you giving? Yourself. You're giving yourself to the kingdom of heaven. You people still here? "And it shall be given unto you good measure." Now, I don't know if I have time to go into all of this. Did you know the rabbinical teachings, how they did things? This is an outline. He went on. This is his outline about how he gave this message. We just quoted it as a scripture. It was actually an outline. Just like the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father which art in heaven." He went on. That was his first topic. He talked about the Father, which was in heaven. He explained where heaven was. He explained all this stuff. Then he went on to step number two. This is the same thing. This is how he was teaching. And Luke just wrote down the outline. Give. The whole first part of this topic was giving. Give yourself to what? The kingdom. By praying. By fasting. By giving to the giving your alms. You're giving yourself to the kingdom. And it shall be given unto you in what way? Good measure. We all have been this far before, right? We know that if we give, he said that he would answer our prayer and reward us openly. Pray to the Father behind closed doors. He will reward you where? Openly. Where's openly? What if we give? Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. What if you give? You will be rewarded where? Openly, financially. Do we understand this? And it will be what? It will be good measure. You give and it's going to be rewarded to you openly in a good measure, meaning not what you just gave. You sow a seed, do you just reap one seed? Well, eat it and die if that's the only thing. But you sow the seed and it grows up into be a great seed with many, many things on it. Give and it shall be given unto you good measure. Part number two. Everybody say, press down. Huh. It's already been given to you in one way. It's been given to you good measure. Now it's going to be given to you through a pressure, a pressed down measure. Do you understand? So the way he's telling you now, how is it going to be given to you? How is this kingdom? How is this going to come to pass? There's going to be a pressing down. Do you know what it is? When the weight of God's glory comes, what's it do? It presses down. If people don't give to you good measure, they'll give to you when there's a pressure applied to them. What's the pressure going to be? The pressure's going to come from where? It's going to come from the kingdom of heaven, putting pressure on people. I've never seen this before, bro. I'm telling you, this is the way Jesus taught it. He was a prophet. He was telling you how this was going to come to pass. If people aren't giving the way they're supposed to be to you, then there's going to be a pressure coming on them to cause them to do it. In good measure, pressed down. What's the next one? Shaken together. We've been talking about this. Is the city going to come in a good measure? Yes, is it going to come? It'll come by being pressed down by the glory. If they don't want to come, there'll be pressure applied to them. What if they resist the pressure? Then a shaking's coming. You know, and few things will hold back under a good shaking. Did you know that? Even big buildings, they're designed to resist an earthquake to a certain degree, right? You know, 1.3 or whatever on the Richter scale. But you get it up to 7 on the Richter scale, well, nothing's going to stand up to that. It's the shaking of God. See, they don't have a choice. This is what I'm saying. They don't have a choice. One way or another, people are going to come in. The city is going to come in, either in a good measure willingly or by the pressure of God, or by the shaking. And we said that if his spirit remains among us, there will be what? I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. It will come in. Yes. If his spirit remains among us. You guys getting any of this? Because this is severe language that he's using here. Shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. The whole topic ends with this. This is how they're going to give into your bosom. They're going to come into your bosom. What does it mean to give into somebody's bosom? It means to put in responsibility of them. It means to take what I have and give it into your control. They're going to do this. They're going to submit to your kingdom. They're going to submit to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and then running over. They'll be running over each other. Like crazed, sale-obsessed women at a red light special or whatever. Got to get to that bin before the stockings all go away. And I've got so many scriptures to back this up. You can go to Isaiah. Maybe I should take you over there. I'm getting these weird looks. Go to Isaiah chapter 60. So how are we taking the city? Is this just by some madman's method? This is God's method. It is the Holy Spirit. This is how he does it. Did we say that he's going to shake the city? Did we see that? He is going to put pressure on them. He's going to shake them, and they're going to come running in. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen. What's risen on you? The glory of the Lord is risen on you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. I propose to you again, it's the same darkness. It's the same thing. You know, the Bible says that the Lord dwells, when he was talking about Solomon, saying that, you know, the Lord has chosen to dwell in this gross darkness. He said that. And we think, oh, gross darkness, the Lord wouldn't dwell in gross. But from a natural point of view, remember the cloud on Mount Sinai? What was it? It was dark, it was lightning, it was terrifying. People would wet their pants saying, I don't want to go up there. Even Moses was scared. He said, I don't want to go up there, but the Lord called him up. What would have happened if a natural person just went into that? They would have died. The Bible says that. We're talking about the same God in our day. The gross darkness shall cover the earth. Darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. His glory shall be seen where? On you. You're the new temple. Back then it was in this temple of Solomon. Now it's on you, his same glory. Well, no wonder the gold and the silver comes to you. It came to Solomon by the camel load. You're going to wonder why people and camels are following you around with the gold, trying to give it to you. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. It goes down saying these people are going to run to you. They're going to run to you. They're going to be compelled to come. Why? Because all their other stuff, all their other ways are being destroyed by the power and the glory of God. Is this making any sense at all? And it's going to be the people that commit to staying in the glory, not getting offended, not going away, not doing something else, not picking up some seeker-friendly program, but staying in the glory to where they'll begin to see it. And people will be afraid of you. The Bible says they will. The glory on you. We're going to walk in this. Do you see why I'm saying you got to be committed to walk in this? You got to be committed to get in order, to get in line, to stay there, and to do it, no matter what it takes. Which means I have to change, you have to change. Because I know I'm not something super special. I'm goofy half the time. But in the glory of God, we can all be changed to into his image and then have his glory. And what's it going to do to the city, people? I hope at least I've got this point across. What is it going to? It's going to shake the city. It will destroy it as it is known today. And it will then build and plant it. And I want to show you what it's going to build it and plant it to. I don't even know if that was English. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Now please listen to me, people. If once it's been torn down, once it's been destroyed, once all those things of the past are gone, and God begins to build and plant, just like you when you're raised up in a new life in Christ, what's it going to be? It's going to be this. Seeking those things which are above. Do you see this? Once the destruction has happened, once everything has been laid waste and has been brought down, have you ever seen the results of an earthquake? A really big one, especially in places where the city isn't built so well. They're made out of, I don't know what. It was just recently in Pakistan it did that. You look at these school buildings, they were just decimated by a small earthquake. It was just rubble. Rubble everywhere you could see. It's been destroyed. It's been wiped out. Now look what he says. Seek. Now, if you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Now he's telling people, now their lives are destroyed, he's telling them to seek the things that are in the kingdom of God. Is anybody going to be there to lift these people up and bring them into the kingdom of God? Of course they are. You are. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Portland will be seeking those things which are above. When they've come around, when the glory has done its work, they will now be seeking those things which are above. Do you see this? This is what's happening. This is the reorder. This is when they've come into the blood. Now they're going to be seeking. Can you see this? The city will be seeking the things that are above and not the things that are on the earth, like they've been doing for the last who knows how long. Most cities are like that. Are we on the same page here? Most cities are like that. You go down there, you walk down the street, what are they doing? They're seeking the things that are on this earth. It's going to be destroyed. You're going to see people seeking the things that are above. You're going to have a Holy Ghost boutique or something down there. Get a Holy Ghost hairdo. Everything, do you understand? Get a vision in your head of what the city will be after it's been destroyed and has been transferred, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I hope you're here. You go into the music stores and there won't be all this evil stuff anymore. It'll be the glory of God. So what's this beautiful music? Sure, they'll still sell you a guitar, but it'll be at a better price. You get your Holy Ghost discount. You might be the one owning it. I am not kidding here. I hope I've shown you enough that I'm not just making this up. Why would I make something? This is ridiculous. I'm not making this stuff up. When the Holy Ghost comes in and takes the city, they're going to start seeking those things which are above. Set your affection, verse 2, on the things which are above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear in glory with him. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. What's going to happen to this city? What's going to be mortified? Everything in this city. Mortify, therefore, the city, the members of the city upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, whatever that word is, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Are you telling me that when the glory of God is present and is remaining and staying here, these things will be almost unheard of? It used to be a shame to come out of the closet. Now we're like, go back in the closet. Who told you to come out of the closet? Brother, now you're just irritating people. I know, but sometimes I just have to do that. Did anybody tell them to come out of the closet? No. Do you see that? I hope you're on the same page, people. What's going to happen? Is this going to be allowed? And it won't be enforced by some arm of the law. It won't have to be, because the kingdom of God has come and it rules in the streets and the affections are now set on the things of above. This is a city transformed. Have you ever seen that in these verses of scripture before? This is what he's talking about this. Not just one person. Yes, I read that before. It pertains to me. Yes, it does, but it pertains to the whole city. It pertains to you and everybody around you, especially that which you've been put in charge of. If you're prayer lord over a city, well, this is your job here. This is how things are supposed to be. Everybody seeking those things which are above and not on things of the earth. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery. For which things' sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which things you also walked sometimes when you lived in them. But now, everybody say, but now. When? Now. Is this possible? And this is what people don't, they're not grabbing it. When a city is transformed, it's now. These things don't happen anymore. We've allowed too much to happen, and it can't happen anymore. And when the glory of God comes and abides, it will eradicate all these things, and this is the way it will be. Now. This is what God is building and planning. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you see how all of this destruction took place for what? So that we could have this growing up, this being planted, this being established. At one point you lived in them. Verse 8. But now you also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another. Hello, we're still talking about the same thing when the Holy Ghost is here. We're not going to lie to him, are we? Filthy communications. And is there any of that going on in the streets? Can you even imagine a construction site where everybody's like, could you please hand me a hammer, man? How's their mouth? Usually. Well, not in this city. How's it going to happen? This is the transformed city, people, by the glory and power of God. You know? Construction workers. I don't care where you are. I've worked plenty of jobs where at the drop of a hat, there was evil speech coming out of the mouth. I'm not against construction workers. I've done that. I like to do that every once in a while. Makes me feel like a man. Sit behind my girly desk half the time, you know. And get out there and nail some hammers in. See, well, you can tell how much I don't do it. And when you hit your thumb, you go, glory be to God forever. We will know that when the construction workers are hitting their nails on their thumbs and they're yelling, glory to God and I'm alive, that we've got it. We're there. Okay? One of the things that's going to be destroyed. Are you here? I don't know, you know. This is not a cakewalk. This is not just something I'm making up. This is what's going to happen. Everybody say, this is going to happen. How's it going to happen? Well, I'm going to come up with some great cookie basket program, and we will send out to people. No, it will be the glory of God coming and destroying all of these things. It will eradicate it and destroy it. And people go, you'll be on the news, and I'll go, why? How did you get rid of all homelessness in the city? Is that even possible? Do you know it says in the Bible that none of them had any need? None of them. And nothing shall escape them. Nothing shall escape you. This is God. I realize it's what's impossible with men, but it's possible with God. It's only possible with his glory coming, abiding, and shaking. You really believe that, brother? I can't believe anything else. We have to base what we believe on the Word. And when God shows you this stuff in the Word, guess where that puts you? In the Word. Taking a city, and like I said, I don't care if nobody's ever done it before. And you know what? It has happened time and time again. Look throughout history and some of the revivals that have come. All the bars closed down. All of them. Well, nobody's going to them. They all got saved. And then I've heard of times in John Wesley's day, he came in, all the terrible places closed down. And then there was this one sinner, this one evil guy, and he didn't want to get saved. Well, they all ganged up on him and prayed for him until he finally broke. He broke. God shook him. He broke, and he came into the kingdom of God. Every single one of them.
Hallelujah.
Nobody told John Wesley it wasn't possible.
Yes.
Are we serving a different God in this day?
Same God.
Get ready to be shaken. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 says, we're going to pray God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Go with me to 1 Timothy, and I will end with this. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, givings of thanks be made for two men and your sister. What does it say? All men. Does that mean women too?
Yes.
Yes, of course it means women. For all. How many? Two? Three? At least the ones you know? No, for all men. Now, what is he saying? Prayers, supplications, intercessions. Is God going to have you do something that's not possible? He just wants you to waste your time. He knows they're not going to come into the kingdom. He knows God in his sovereignty knows what man shall choose. So why did he tell us to do this then? He's wasting my time. Are you people still here? Because you got people that have this doctrine that the Lord knows who at the end of time will come in and choose him. I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. Well, actually, I do. I hope I'm stepping on your toes, if that's your theology, because he was telling you to pray for somebody, to intercede for him. Why? Because it's his will that they come in. Amen. Yeah, but what about Bubba Grumpy Face? Well, if you can't pray for him, have somebody else do it. Because I don't like him either. You pray for him. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Are you people here? Why is he telling you to give thanks? Because you've believed that you've had your prayer answered, and guess what you have? You're giving thanks for this person coming in. I'm giving thanks for all of Portland, every single person in the city of Portland. I'm giving thank you, Father, for bringing them in, shaking them up, pressing them down, shaking them together, and running them over if you have to. They're coming in, and all your roommates and all your friends. What about choice? Sorry. No choice now. He told us to pray for you. You got no choice. Have you ever thought this about people you've been praying for? What about people in your family? Your kids have a choice? Well, you don't have kids yet. But if you have kids, do they have a choice? I don't want to clean my room. Tough! You're cleaning your room. I said clean your room. There might be some pressure and some shaking. But you will clean your room. Made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So this is saying that we can have this. Would he tell us to pray this and then give thanks for it if we couldn't have it? God would be unjust to do that. We pray for him. Why? So we can have this peace. These things I showed you in the scripture before, this kind of stuff in the streets, this kind of seeking of God in all godliness. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You mean our town could be good and acceptable? Our city can be good and acceptable in the sight of God? Everything in it? Yes. The business dealings going on.
Yes.
The lack of crime. The lack of homelessness. Good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Who will, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? There it is in your Bible. Is it God's will that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? What do we have to do with it? A whole lot. The main thing is we need to position ourselves, as I've shown you tonight, to be in a place where the Holy Ghost can come and abide and rest on us and destroy us, yes, and everything around us. And then we continue to move with him, and he brings them in. He's going to bring them in. Who brings them in? The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You don't add them, because if you add them, they're just going to be a thorn in your side anyway and pester you. Let God add them. Are we willing to be this people? Like I said, it doesn't take a lot. But if we hold our, like I said, put your tongue on the third rail and keep it there. You get close to the third rail, you start feeling your tongue start to quiver. What's it going to do? Kill you? Yeah. Too bad for you. All your dreams and desires that you thought were something great, God's got greater ones for you. Supernatural greatness for you. And it's going to take people that are willing to have. I'm telling you, we're going to be completely changed. I'm going to be completely changed. I'm believing for it. You won't even recognize me a year from now. We won't even recognize you because we'll be so full of the glory of God. It won't matter. You'll look just like Jesus. And so will I. And so will you. Right? We're like, do I know you? Oh, Jesus. I'm excited about it, but this is the only way that this is going to happen. It's going to be in the glory of God. There is no other way. I hope I showed you this. There is no plan. You know, people will probably try to pick up these CDs at some point. They'll find them. They'll go, oh, how to take a city. Good. I'm going to find a plan. And then they'll be disappointed because there is no plan except death. Right? I die to myself, and we follow God into his glory. And he manifests himself in the city and totally reorganizes it and brings it into the blood, brings it into the kingdom of God and his righteousness in the streets, and the whole town is transformed. Hallelujah. But it takes a commitment. You've got to commit yourself to walk and be changed in all of those things that God has for you, and you don't even know what it is, and that's what makes it difficult. So let's just, if you can, we're going to commit to this right now. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That doesn't mean you save them, do you? God saves them. God is the one. So we're totally dependent on his power. But we need to be willing to be used and to be changed by whatever that glory affords and whatever that glory changes us into. And it's from one glory to the next, so don't ever think you've arrived. We never have. The day we're all floating around in the room in this glory cloud and everybody's freaking out in the streets. Guess what? That's not the end. There's more. One glory, there's another glory, there's another level of glory, and we're moving on to it. Everybody say, we're moving on.
Moving on.
Hallelujah, and we're being changed. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we commit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to your glory. We commit ourselves to being changed into all that you have for us, the greatness. We ask you to help us to see those things where we've missed it, see those things that need to die and be in, even if they're good. It may be good things that we need to sacrifice to have your greatness in this earth. We ask for the city. We ask for the people in this city. It is your will that all men in this city be saved. And it is your glory abiding and remaining among us that will bring that to pass. Father, we commit ourselves to that, having you, your glory, your presence, and your precious Holy Spirit abiding here continually in the earth. And bringing all men to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.